Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
In fact, nothing in Peter's life, if you look at his life in the Gospels, did he ever do anything out of fear? I mean, the Bible says they were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee one day, and the storm was knocking their boat around, and they were fearful for their lives, and they saw Jesus walking to them on the water, and it was Peter that stood up and said, "Hey, Lord, if it's you, tell me to walk to you on the water, and I'll come out there and walk to you." And Jesus said, "It's me, come." And the Bible says Peter jumps out of a perfectly good boat into the middle of a raging sea and walks upon the water to Jesus. Does that sound like a man who operates out of fear? So why is it that in this one moment we think that Peter is all of a sudden afraid for his life? He doesn't seem to me to care about that at all. And I noticed something that I think is maybe way more basic of the reason that Peter denied Christ in that moment. And it's this. Peter was ready to fight in the garden because it was cold and there was no fire. So let's go to war. But I want to submit to you that it's cold outside. And as Peter's following in, he gets stopped at the gate. And he sees the fire that's inside. And Peter, it just becomes easy. And what I believe probably happened is that Peter denied Christ, not based out of his fear or out of his shame, but because of his comfort. He sees a nice warm fire being built on the inside and says, "You know what? It would be a lot more." He said, "Listen, I know." He said, he probably in his mind does something that you and I have done a lot, probably that I know I've done a lot, which is rationalize something in his mind in a split second and go, "You know what? It'll be okay if I just compromise this one time to get comfortable for a moment. Lord, you know my heart." Have you ever thought that? "The Lord knows my heart. So I can just, you know, compromise this little bit here and I'll get cozy by the fire." And then again, the Bible says he's warming himself by the fire because it was cold outside and he's warming. And somebody asked him, aren't you one of his disciples?" No, I'm not one of his disciples. And he's standing over the fire because why would you want to be kicked? Not because he's afraid of Jesus, ashamed of Christ, but because he's comfortable and cozy by the warm fire and doesn't want to risk being thrown back outside and have to wait for the trial to be over with in the cold. And so I want to take a few moments and talk to you today about the crippling effect of comfort. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to bless this time in your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll help me to preach and to teach this, God, as you've laid it on my heart. And Father, I pray you will open our ears and our eyes to hear and to receive everything that you've called us here this morning and gathered us here today, God, to hear and to receive. Lord, I pray that, God, you will give us revelation, knowledge of your word. Lord, let it hit us right where it needs to hit us, Father. Let us hear exactly what we need to hear, God. Let us see exactly what we need to see, God, so that we can do everything you've called us to do and be everything, God, that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many like technology? I mean, let's just be honest. I love technology. I love it. Technology makes our lives so much easier. I like iPads. I like iPhones. I like computers. I like cable TV. I like the fact that in my house, I have 100 meg speed download and like a 30 megabyte upload speed for the internet. I love that. I love the fact that I can literally stream thousands of gigs of data anytime I want to and stream movies. That is awesome to me. You know what I'm saying? I love it. Here's the deal, though. Technology has made our lives, all of us, a little more comfortable and a little easier. Amen? Now, here's the flip side of that. You want to know how addicted and how hooked we are on technology is this. How much does your life fall apart when the power goes out in your house for like 20 or 30 minutes? You know what I'm saying? You ever had that happen before? Power goes out. Internet's dead. You don't have any cable TV. You can't do it. I mean, it's just literally, it's like the worst moment ever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's literally. And then as I begin to get mad when this happens, I begin to get frustrated. I begin to get aggravated. I begin to call because hopefully my cell phone is charged up and it's still working. I begin to call the power company and demand that they get my power back on right away because I am binge watching season 4 of some stupid show on Netflix and I need to know what happens right now. You know what I mean? As I begin to get aggravated and frustrated, I begin to realize how probably ridiculous it sounds. You know what I'm saying? How ridiculous it is that I'm getting this upset that for the next 2 hours, my comfortable, technologically filled life is somehow interrupted because I don't have what I want to be comfortable. Amen? I mean, and listen, let's just face it. It is hard. Like, I know, and here's what I begin to think. I begin to think that, you know what, there are people in Africa and people in remote parts of the world that don't have running water and have to fight to survive, and their lives are very hard. You know what I think? I think that is true. That is hard. You know what else? It's also hard on me when I don't have power. Like, I know, that's ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how addicted we can get to our own comfort. And here's where we got to be careful in our walk with God, because our human nature is to always going to be to gravitate towards comfort and away from discomfort. Amen? I mean, that's our human nature. We will always choose something comfortable over something uncomfortable if given a choice. But here's the problem when we bring that into our walk with God. It's this. God really is not concerned as much with my comfort as much as he is with his crucible. In fact, I'll submit to you this. God doesn't really show up very much in my comfortable places. He shows up in the places where I allow him to take me through a crucible. Crucible is the big metal cauldron that they use to refine metal, and they heat it up really hot to purify metal and silver and gold and skim out all the impurities and pour it into a mold and cast something. And crucible means a time of testing, a time of pulling away. And here's the deal. We are people and creatures of habit that operate toward that gravitate towards comfort, but God shows up more in a crucible. And in my walk with God, if my comfort becomes more important than God's crucible, I'll end up in a troublesome situation. Amen? And so I really believe that Peter's denial, when he denies Christ three times, it wasn't like he had this thought out plan. It wasn't like he was ashamed of Christ and afraid for his life, because that just doesn't seem to fit Peter's character at all. What I do think is that he was in a comfortable, cozy spot for a little bit, and it just became really easy to compromise what he knew was God's plan for his own personal comfort. And the reason I think that's probably what happens is because this: I've seen myself do that in my own life more than I would ever care to admit to you. Time and time again, most of us will not deny Jesus and deny the will of God and the plan of God and the promise of God for our life because of some great fear or because of some great shame or because of some great, great angst. We will often most likely deny where God wants us to go and refuse to say yes to Christ because it makes us uncomfortable to follow fully the plan of God for our lives. And Peter was comfortable. He was cozy. It was cold outside. There was a fire, and it just made sense. And so comfort, listen, it can have a crippling effect because it will hinder our movement forward in our walk with God. If this, listen to me close, if my comfort becomes more important than his crucible. Everybody say, don't trade the comfortable. Come on, say, don't trade the comfortable for the crucible. Now, this shows up. I'm going to take you to an Old Testament book that we don't preach a whole lot out of. And usually we do preach it. It's one way, and we're not going to look at it that way. I want you to turn to the book of Ruth. And you can follow along. If you got YouVersion, you can go to the YouVersion events. We're live there. And you can follow along and see all our scriptures there. You can turn to us there with us. We're going to look at the book of Ruth. Now, the book of Ruth is an interesting book in the Bible. It's a real small book, only a few chapters. It tells the story of a family the father was Elimelech and his wife was Naomi. We're going to get into that in just a moment. But Ruth takes place during what's known as the time of the judges. Judges is the book of your Bible right before Ruth, and Ruth is in between Judges and 1 Samuel. Judges is after Joshua. What Judges is this. Judges is the story of the third generation of Israelites that came out of Egypt. You had the people that came out of Egypt following Moses. They wandered the wilderness for 40 years. All of that generation died off. Then Joshua steps up, takes Moses' place, leads the second generation into the promised land. They conquer the promised land. They settle the promised land. And then Judges is that third generation after Joshua is gone. And they're all kind of wondering, okay, we are not slaves anymore in Egypt, and we're in the promised land, and we're living in the promise, so now how do we live? Amen? You ever known people that can only, you know, I know people that can only serve God when all hell is breaking loose in their lives. You know what I'm saying? It's like, unless there's a battle, unless there's a struggle, unless there's a great cause, unless there's a great mission, then they just kind of flatline. And that's kind of what happens in the book of Judges. The people of Israel just kind of flatline, because they're not slaves anymore. They're not struggling for their freedom. They're not trekking through the wilderness onto this great promised land they've heard about. They're there. They're in the promise. And now, what do I do? Now, how do we live? And Ruth takes place during this time of the judges. Now, let's read the first couple of verses here together. It says, in the days when the judges ruled in Israel. That's how I know it's from the book of Judges. See, you got to just see that. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. Now, Moab is the land that borders the promised land of Canaan, just on the other side of the Jordan River. The Israelites camped out in Moab for a long time on the east side of the Jordan River, and they crossed the Jordan River under Joshua's leadership as they began to conquer the land of Canaan, and they took the first city, Jericho. So Moab is just outside the promised land. Now, Elimelech and his family are living in the promised land. They're living in the promises of God that God had prophesied through Abraham way, way, way back in the book of Genesis. And they're from a town called Bethlehem. Bethlehem means a place of bread or a place of food. And in the Bible, listen, you got to understand, the Old Testament reveals Jesus in the New Testament. Amen? Everything in the Old Testament is to point to our lives in Christ and to point to Jesus in the New Testament. Everything in the New Testament you can find discovered in the Old Testament. Does that make sense? So let me do just a little bit of teaching for you this morning. Bethlehem means a place of bread or a place of food. That's what that word city means. Bread in the Bible is often referred to as the Word of God. Jesus told Satan when he said, turn these stones into bread in Luke chapter 4 and the temptation of Christ. And Satan said, you can turn these stones into bread, Jesus. Jesus said, man shall not live upon bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. So in our spiritual lives, our bread, our food is the Word of God. Bethlehem was located in the region, in the state, of Judah. Judah is translated in Hebrew, it means simply praise. It means praise. So let me explain something to you. For you and I, listen to me close, for you and I to live in the promised land, for you and I to live in the promises of God, there have got to be two things in our lives that we have got to have as foundations. We've got to have a place of bread, and we've got to have a place of praise. Amen? There is no promises of God that's going to come into my life if I am not diligent about having a place where I am fed the Word of God and having a place where I can praise and lift up the name of Jesus. Amen? And so those two things have got to be in our lives if we're ever going to experience the promises of God. Let me tell you something, Red Life Church, this has got to be a place of praise and a place of the Word. Not because it's just something that we do and it's a church. Listen, I can't get this to you enough. This is when we come together on Sunday morning and we begin to sing songs, we begin to play music, and we begin to worship. Listen, that's not just done out of tradition. That is a spiritual thing that we are awakening in our community. For us to experience the promises of God, there's got to be a place of praise. Amen? And we get into the Word and have the Word of God taught and preached and look at that thing. Why? Because if I'm going to get into the promises of God, I've got to have a place of the Word. I've got to have a place of bread. Amen? And so, he's living in the place of the Word, in the place of praise, but things get uncomfortable. The Bible says famine hits the land. The place that was the place of bread is not the same place of bread that it was. Okay? And Elimelech decides to make the decision to leave an uncomfortable place and go to Moab. The word Moab simply means this. It means a place of water or a place of seed. Translated either way, seed or water in the original Hebrew language, okay? Now, Moab represents, in fact, here's how great Moab was. Moab was so comfortable that when the Israelites were getting ready under Joshua's leadership to go into the promised land, there were 2.5 tribes of Israel that said, Moab is so great, we're going to hang out here. They said, Joshua, we want to settle here in Moab. We'll go help you fight and conquer Canaan, but we're going to hang out here in Moab because we like it here and it's comfortable. And so from that time on, 2.5 tribes of Israel made the decision, watch this, to stay in Moab instead of going to the promise. Let me tell you something real quickly about how often God works and how life works. Listen to me close. Everybody lean in a little bit. Lean in a little bit. Give me your ear just a second. Let me whisper this in your ear. Listen, listen, listen. Listen. There will often be a place of comfort for you to settle in right on the border of your promise. And it makes all the sense in the world for Elimelech to leave the place of praise and to leave the place of the word and go to a place of comfort because the place he was in was no longer comfortable. It made all the sense in the world for the 2.5 tribes of Israel. It was the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Reuben, and the half tribe of Ephraim, two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. They said, after 40 years of wandering the wilderness, when you finally get to a place that looks good and that has water, listen, they have been in the wilderness for 40 years getting water out of a rock, trusting God every day for water, and they finally get to a comfortable place with water where they can spread out, makes all the sense in the world to say, this place is comfortable. Let's stay here, because it's really, how can the promised land be any better than this? We're comfortable here. Makes all the sense in the world to leave the place of promise and go to the place of comfort when the place of promise. But here's the problem. The problem exists this. A comfortable place may be comfortable, but it may not be a place of promise. Amen? And there will always be an opportunity to settle in a place of comfort just before I reach my promise. And I want to challenge you today. Don't settle in a land of comfort when your promise is just across the river. Don't settle in a place that is easy and that just happens to make sense and it fits all of your needs and it fits just because it looks good and it feels good and it's comfortable. Don't settle in a comfortable place when you know it's not the promised place. Because in the promised place is where you encounter God. The problem is this. The comfortable place may be great and it may fit and you may be able to live there, but God don't live in the comfortable place. God lives in the promised place. And I want to be where God is, even if it's an uncomfortable place. I want to be where God is in the promised place, even if it brings some discomfort into my everyday life. Amen? And the problem with comfort is that we get addicted to comfort, and we decide, and comfort, listen, comfort causes us to go soft. And only causes us to be concerned with more comfort. Right? I mean, if I get... If I get 10,000 thread count sheets, those are, I don't know anything about sheets, but I think those are comfortable ones, right? I don't know. Is that a good number, 10,000? Is that like the highest? Like, what's the highest thread count sheet available? Is there like 1,000? Is that the highest one? I know nothing about any of this. My wife buys all the sheets. Okay? Well, let me tell you something. If let's say 1,000 is the max, okay? None of us seem to know. If 1,000 thread count sheet is the max, guess what? And those, I'm sure, are lovely. I don't even know if we have that. We have like 20 thread. I don't know what ours is. I have no idea. But if 1,000 is the max and you have that and you're comfortable and you sleep and it's great, guess what? If you see an ad on TV for a 5,000 thread count sheet, you're going to be thinking, you know what? I bet that would be even more comfortable. Because the thing about comfort is it wants more of itself. Amen? The more comfortable I am, the more comfortable I want to be. And I'll spend money on more things to make me more comfortable. Come on, somebody. And so comfort only begets more comfort. The problem is this. God doesn't operate in comfort very often. Amen? And a comfortable place may not be the promised place. So we got to be careful about settling in a place of comfort just short of his promise. Here's what you got to understand about God. God's promises, God's plan, God's will for your in my life has very little to do with my personal comfort, but it has everything to do with his glory. And here's the tension that exists in this walk, is that his glory doesn't show up very often in comfortable places. You know whose glory shows up in comfortable places? Mine. You know what I mean? This is so comfortable. This is what I was able to get. This is what I was able to buy. This is what I was able to create. This is the comfortable lifestyle that I've been able to afford myself and my family. And the problem is, if I'm addicted to that and that's what my life becomes about, it becomes about my comfort and not God's glory. And I believe one reason we sometimes fail to see God move in a powerful way and see God's plan in action and see God's promise to show up in a tangible force in our lives is because we're often seeking comfort and we stray away from the crucible. But God uses the crucible to bring about his plans and his promises in my life. Amen? And often we do just like Elimelech did, is when things get uncomfortable, even in a place of promise, even in a place of the word, even in a place of praise, we will move away when that thing becomes. And here's what you got to understand. Listen to me close. When you first come, let me just talk about coming to a church sometimes. You may come to a church for the first time. You may come to a church like this for the first time. You thought, man, this is awesome. If you're new here, I pray that's what you thought. Not because I want to feel good. I pray you felt God in this place and thought, man, this is great. I've never experienced the Holy Spirit like this. I've never been able to worship this freely. But I pray that's what you get. Amen? I pray as I'm preaching. I hope you don't think that I'm just talented or I don't care about that. But I pray you get fed something from the Word of God that changes your life and that allows you to carry something with your week and begins to let you see God and relate and encounter God in a greater and powerful way in your life. That's what my prayer. That's what we're about. Amen? Now, sometimes when you come to a new place, just coming to a new church for the first time can be just like a new relationship whether in a romantic relationship. You know what I mean? Like me and Leanne have been together for a very long time. We dated through high school, and when we first got together, I mean, we had 4-hour long phone conversations on like old school phone, like rotary phones. You know, like ones that were connected into the wall. You know what I'm saying? Now, if we talk for more than like a minute on the phone, I'm like, let's get out of here. What's going on? Why are we talking on the phone? You know what I'm saying? I got to go. Bye. I don't understand what I'm talking about. Why? Because there's familiarity now. Okay? So coming to church at the same time, you come to church every Sunday for the first 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. It's like, man, this is awesome. But I can't wait. You start getting excited on Thursday for church on Sunday. Have you ever experienced that before? You start thinking about it. Man, you're inviting everybody. But then, after a while, listen, I might make some of you mad. Here, listen, can I tell you something? You can only sit here for so long and get fed before you get fat and uncomfortable. And at some point, if I'm not flowing and if I'm comfortable and settled in a comfortable place, what will happen is God will turn the comfortable place into a crucible to force me to move into his plan. Does that make sense? And so what I mean is this. We'll come to church and it was awesome. It's great. And I'm getting something from the word. I'm getting fed and I'm getting encouraged and I'm amening and it's powerful. Then all of a sudden something happens that challenges me. Then all of a sudden the worship pushes me in a direction where maybe everything shuts down or somebody encourages and says, hey, everybody, let's everybody lift their hands. You're like, well, I've never lifted my hands before. That's weird. We don't do that in the church I'm from, okay? But here's what you got to understand. So you think, well, that's uncomfortable. Here's what you got to understand, though. You don't grow in a place of comfort. You only grow in an uncomfortable place. Amen? And so all of a sudden, so when things get uncomfortable, I hope I'm relating this the way I want to. When things get uncomfortable, I've got a decision to make to either roll with the uncomfort for a little bit or to move away back to a place of comfort. And this is what happens in Ruth. Elimelech, the place was great. They got to the promised land. It was awesome. They were in the word. They were in a place of praise. The rain was coming. The crops were growing. The cows were getting fat. They were getting fed. It was awesome. Then all of a sudden, they got to a place where they had to decide whether they were going to push through the discomfort in the promised place for a temporary season to get to the next promise. Does that make sense? And instead, Elimelech said, this is uncomfortable now. This place of praise, this place of the word is uncomfortable now. I want to go back to the place of comfort. And they took their family back to Moab. But when I choose comfort over the crucible, God will turn the comfort into a crucible. Look at this. Look at what happens here. Ruth chapter 1, verse 3. Then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah. The other a woman named Ruth. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died, and this left Naomi alone without her two sons or her husband. So they left a place of uncomfortableness, of discomfort, to go to a place of comfort, and they died. The place of comfort became a place of a crucible. How many of you have ever made a decision to get away from an uncomfortable place to go to a comfortable place, and all of a sudden the comfortable place became a testing place? Amen? You left one job to go to another job because you thought that job was going to be better, the pay was going to be better, the hours were going to be better, and then all of a sudden you got into that job and realized this job is way more difficult, this job is way more tough, way tougher than the job I had before. Amen? Anybody ever been there? I'm going to leave this marriage and go to another marriage, and then all of a sudden you realize that marriage had problems too. You know why? You know why? Because you brought all your problems with them. Come on, somebody. I'm going to leave this church and go to another church because I think that church is a perfect church. The problem is, the moment any of us walk in the door, it becomes an imperfect church. So we got to be careful about seeking comfort when God's trying to use the crucible to bring about something that he wants to do in our lives. But here's what you got to understand. Here's what you got to understand. The crucible is never meant to cripple you. It's only meant to prepare you. And what we think in my mind, what I often think in my mind is that this crucible is going to kill me. And so I will shift to a place of comfort. Amen? I will shift to something that's comfortable. I will shift to something that feels better. I will shift to something that's easier. I will shift to something that doesn't make me feel as uncomfortable as the crucible does. But what ends up happening is it's the comfort that cripples me when the crucible was trying to prepare me. So this looks like, man, God, why would you let this happen? Why would you let this happen to their family? Here's what's going on. Even though Elimelech and his family and Naomi, even though they're living in a comfortable place, they're no longer living in the promised place. And God, listen, let me just tell you something. God has done way too much in your life, in my life, to allow us to leave the promised place and stay in a comfortable place. Amen? And so he begins to turn the comfortable place into a crucible, not to cripple them, but to prepare them. Because here's what you have to understand. Back in the promised land is a guy named Boaz. Now, Boaz is a real important guy because he is the great-great-grandfather of David. David, who is the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of Jesus, was born in the place. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, in the place of Bethlehem. You know why the place of the word and the place of praise is so important? Is because Jesus shows up in the place of the word and in a place of praise. Amen? And waiting in the promised land is Boaz. Now the comfortable land, Moab, is great, but the promise isn't there. The promise is in the uncomfortable place. The promise is in the promised place. The promise is not in the comfortable place. And so God has to orchestrate and allow some situations to come into my life to get me, to move me back into a promised place. Ruth later on meets Boaz. I'm not going to go, and that's usually where we really focus on this story, is seeing how Boaz comes into Ruth's life and redeems her and ends up marrying her. And God uses Boaz to both save Ruth and preserve her family. And then Ruth, this Moabite woman, a non-Jewish person, is in the lineage of Jesus Christ himself in the line of King David. Because there was a promise waiting there. Jesus is born in Bethlehem because redemption and the promises of God are sometimes found in an uncomfortable place of praise in the word. I just want to challenge you to this. Listen. Some of you may have been shifting away from an uncomfortable place, trying to find a place of comfort, and you're finding out that place of comfort is not as comfortable as you imagined it to be. And I want to challenge you that possibly what's going on is God is turning your comfortable place into a crucible type place. But it's not because he's mad at you. It's not because he's upset with you. It's because he's using that to prepare you and to bring you back to a place of promise. Amen? And here's what I want to decide in my life is this. God, I will sacrifice my comfort every time for your crucible if it means I'll be in your promise. Amen? God, I will stay in an uncomfortable place as long as it's a place of praise, as long as I know I'm in the promised place, as long as I know I'm where God you've called me to be, I'll stay in that place so I can have your promise. Amen? Listen, the promise of God in my life is more important than my own personal comfort. Amen? Stand all over this place this morning. just close your eyes for a second? Just take a moment. Just take a moment to see where you fit into here, where you're at in this, man. And I don't imagine that every single person in this room is somehow running from God, running away purposely from tough places, testing places, trials that God's trying to. But I do want to just challenge, if you are in this place this morning, and man, you know that, man, you are not where God's called you to be, and maybe even you ran from some uncomfortable places to try to find a place of comfort, and all of a sudden your life is in turmoil and you're not feeling like you used to. I want to suggest to you that possibly what is happening is God is trying to bring you back to a place of promise. If something challenged you and you kind of put a wall up and stiff-armed the situation and stiff-armed the people that were involved and said, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be in that situation. That makes me feel uncomfortable. That makes me feel weird. And you've kind of shut down. And then here's what happens. Sometimes what happens is nothing happens. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes what happens is nothing at all happens. And then weeks and months go by and you wonder, why don't I feel God anymore? Why don't I hear God anymore? Why don't the messages impact my heart like they used to? Why don't I enjoy seeing people that I used to? Why don't I experience the presence of God like I used to? Why am I praying and I feel like I'm not getting heard? I feel like I'm not getting answers like I used to. It could be because somewhere along the journey, I said, nope, I'm going to hang out in my comfortable place and I want everything to stay the same and everything to stay just like it is. And the problem is God is not there anymore. God is not there anymore. And so what happens is that comfortable place becomes uncomfortable. And I go, what happened? And what happens is I may need to go back to an uncomfortable place and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to stay in the place of the word. I'm going to stay in the place of praise so that I can stay in the place of promise. And if that gets uncomfortable, so be it. But I'm going to stay in the promised land come hell or high water. Amen? I really feel like the Lord might be drawing some people back this morning, back to a place of commitment, back to a place of passion for the Lord, back to whatever it was that you said no to that somehow seemed to stall out, whatever it was you said no to that made you uncomfortable, that you chose a comfortable place over a crucible place. I think God might be calling some people back there. And listen, what he's calling you back to is not just a crucible, he's calling you back to the promise. This is the great thing about the promises of God. Listen to me, they'll never go anywhere. The Bible says the promise and calling of God are without repentance. They are never taken away. They're never taken away. And as long as I'm breathing, I have a chance to repent and get back to the promised land. Get back to the place that God's called me to be. Amen? This doesn't mean you've died. That you've somehow walked away from the faith and walked away from Jesus and turned your back on the Lord and that you're on your, you know, you're on the fast track to hell. It could just mean that you're just not growing anymore. You know what I mean? And you're just stuck. And it's because God said you got to come back to the place of the promise. Amen. So here's what we're gonna do this morning, man. I'm gonna pray over you just to say we're gonna sing for just a moment. I want our prayer team, altar workers, to come forward and be ready to pray. And man, if there's anything in your life today that God, man, you just say, man, I need to come back in this area. I need to have this re-sparked in my life. Or maybe the Lord's even dealing with you about, maybe there's some specific situation that the Lord's bringing to your memory that where you said, nah, I'm going to stay comfortable. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I'm going to stay in the place again. And the Lord's talking to you about that, man. Here's what you do. Come on, guys, get up here.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.